There is so much that goes into one bottle of wine. So much time, so many resources, so much careful thought.
This big body of water, Lake Michigan, it has so much love to give us.
I was the young generation, now I'm the old one. It's funny how that happens, you know?
I'm adverse to publications of wine to some degree because the people that are writing these articles are living in a vacuum.
Americans have embraced wine more. We've become more of a wine culture.
We say, so drink the wine. That's kind of our motto here at Life Between the Vines. One of the cool things about wine, besides drinking it, is the people you drink it with. And the stories you hear and tell with wine all come together to make every bottle unique. Discovering and tasting wine shouldn't be a homework assignment. And we believe that the people who are closest to wine have the best stories. So open a bottle.
And welcome to podcast number 312. This week we feature Elizabeth Viana of Chimney Rock Winery, Stag's Leap District, Napa Valley. The best way to make wine less scary is to talk with winemakers. They really do tell the best stories. Winemakers bleed grape juice, work crazy hours, and practically live in the vineyard. So we see it as our job to let them tell their stories. Elizabeth Viana is winemaker for Chimney Rock Winery in the Stag's Leap District of Napa Valley. Elizabeth has been a longtime friend and a joy to chat with. She makes spectacular wines and keeps it real. And while making wine in Napa Valley is very cool, making wine in the Stag's Leap District is just out of this world. Hear Elizabeth define mouthfeel in our Vino Lingo segment of the podcast. This is a thrill for me because you are one of my favorite winemakers in Napa Valley, so that's my non-journalistic side coming out, but we are here with Elizabeth Viana, winemaker for Chimney Rock. Elizabeth, how are you?
Hi, Ray. Thank you. You are too kind.
No, I'm not. We've been friends with you for such a long time. We've had such a good relationship, and you have so many cool friends that we've already talked about. And it's always a pleasure to come see you, even if it's just for a couple of minutes at premiere or auction or whatever it is.
So, well, welcome back to Chimney Rock.
Thank you, and welcome back to Life Between the Vines.
Thank you.
Yeah. So a lot's changed. A lot stayed the same. We're here during the week of premiere, and right now I'm looking at blue skies and rain coming down outside, so it's usual crazy Napa weather.
It is. It's been a true winter. Lots of rain. We're happy. We're above average rainfall already, so... You know, we're already thinking about the next growing season, and it looks good, so.
That's something I always like to talk about with winemakers. It fascinates me, but you guys truly live in the past, you live in the present, and you live in the future simultaneously.
Yeah.
That's kind of a trick, isn't it?
And we are obsessed with weather more than anyone you know.
That's the truth. You're like all amateur weather persons.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. I follow a lot of forecasts.
Generally, are you kind of holding your breath, or are you just happy to see that it's going to be okay? Or
no, I think it's just nice to see the snow cap, you know, and the Sierras, just good, healthy start to the season. We should be getting close to bud break here in we got a few weeks. It's been kind of cold, too. We've had a lot of freezing temps at night, so.
Have you, in this part of the valley, and we're in Stag's Leap, did you get any flooding down this way?
We did not. No flooding. No flooding.
You would almost think because you're lower down here.
Yep, not too bad.
Nope. Yeah, the flooding situation here in Napa is strange. It's not what you would think. It's not typical low-lying areas.
Yeah, it hasn't been as bad. The worst flood we had, I think, in recent years was 2005. It's been a while.
So how long now have you been winemaker here for Chimney Rock?
So I have been at Chimney Rock in January, 17 years.
Wow.
17 years of my life on this little piece of heaven.
Yeah.
So...
It is a piece of heaven.
It is.
You're very lucky.
Yeah.
And things have changed in your personal life as well.
They have. I got married.
And congratulations.
Thank you.
Very happy for you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Well, it's nice to see, you know, you post your regular poster in Facebook. It's nice to kind of keep track. You talk a little bit about your personal life, but you talk a lot about your professional life as well. It's nice because it's a good way to keep in touch.
Yeah. I mean, and... You know, when you're a winemaker, those things are very intermingled also. You live, eat, and breathe wine, right?
Yeah.
My husband is a part of my work life as well. He pours at events with me during harvest. He and my dog are here at the winery helping me manage ferments. You know, it all integrates.
That's very cool. Is he in the business, or what does he do?
No, he's not in the business at all. He was in mental health.
That's very good. Well, and you got a dog helping out. Nothing wrong with that.
Yes, yes. Our black lab named Raven.
Nice.
You should meet her sometime.
That would be fun. I'd like to.
Well, Raven comes to work a lot. She's covered the Wine Dogs book. You know, she's famous. More than me.
It's just harder to get an autograph. That's
yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So what's happened at the winery new? What's changed around here?
Actually, a lot since the last time we saw each other. Chimney Rock is now Napa Green certified, both in the vineyards and the winery.
Congratulations.
So we've had a two-decade investment and work on the greening of Chimney Rock, and it was something that the family was very committed to. So we got certified first in the vineyards, and then we did the winery. We're now 100% solar, which we went solar in 11. It's been a long time.
Yeah, I remember that.
But just, sort of keeping up with the times, making sure that we're respectful of this beautiful land that we get to inhabit. So proud of those efforts and the support from the family. It's cool.
Should be. And let's talk about the family for a moment. For people who don't know, Chimney Rock is owned by Trilotto family, and the Trilottos, in my personal opinion, are some wonderful people. There's, of course, Tony, who we interviewed a couple of times over the last few years.
Yeah.
And John.
And Bill.
And Bill.
John and Bill. And they are, they really are multi-generational family in the wine business. They've done it all. They import amazing brands like, Piper Heitzig and Angelo Gaia's wines and Chapoutier.
Yeah.
And then they own some wineries, and they put a precedence on quality that makes it very easy for a winemaker to stick around for 17 years. So
they let you do your thing.
Yep.
Yeah. So here's an interesting thing I've poised to a lot of winemakers, at least I think it's interesting. For as long as you've been doing this, and you've had plenty of media exposure, what's the question you don't get asked that you'd like to have asked? Is there one? I mean, I know you've covered a lot of territory.
A question you don't get asked a lot, and I always say that the term winemaker is a misnomer. It kind of takes a village to make wine.
Sure.
A small village sometimes, a smaller village, a larger village, depending on the winery. But I don't get asked about my team. Who are they? And I'm very proud of them. It is a team of six here at Chimney Rock. Myself, my assistant winemaker, Laura, Eddie, our cellar master, and three guys, Leo, Jorge, and Benjamin. And they're awesome. And people never ask about the other people behind the wine. They want to talk to the winemaker. But it really is a group effort. And I've been very lucky. This team has been with me for a long time. And, I get asked a lot, the Chimney Rock wines are so consistent. And, part of it is being estate grown, of course, and
sure,
growing your own grapes. But I think the people behind the wine, and we have Flavio, who's our eyes in the vineyard, they're key as well. So that's a question that surprises me. And so I always talk about them when I get asked that. Yeah. So now you know.
Well, but we talked about labor in the valley, and it's not easy to be somebody who works out here because of maybe where you live, the distances, or simply the cost of living here if you live here. Yeah. It's not an easy place to live while it is virtually heaven on earth.
Right.
And so I'm assuming some of your people live nearby or they don't?
Actually, all of my guys live pretty locally. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, everybody's right here.
Yeah, so they're part of what's going on in the community. That gives you a bit more of a sense of pride, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
We were talking about Trilotto a few seconds ago, and Trilotto is a very big company, to be sure. But it's not a company that operates like a big company from an outsider's point of view. There's a number of wineries they own both here, and they own overseas as well as importing wines. But, again, it's that idea of a family thing, I assume that same thing kind of goes on between the other wineries that they're associated with.
Absolutely. And I don't actually think they're a massive company. I think of them as a smallish, And yes, they dabble in international, and we're making, we have now the Trilotto Pinot Grigio out of Friuli. Have you tried that?
No,
you should try that sometime.
No.
It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. They've bought some property in Italy as well. But it very much feels like a family business to me.
Well, it is a family business, yeah, there's no question. I want to make that point that there are some companies that are bigger companies that get it.
Right.
Right. I mean, that's the impression I get. You're talking about the idea of going green. You're talking about being in this valley and doing what you want to do.
Yep. Prioritizing. Their focus is luxury wine, and that's what they're, you know, they're really great at. So, and their plan is to be a multi-generational, you know, company. Their kids being raised who are going to be in, are already actually involved in the business.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So all of Bill's kids are involved already. Johnny's kids are still a little younger, but, you know, that's the intention. So
it's a pleasure to be able to work with a family like that. What
absolutely.
A good idea. So let's talk about the wines. You guys are so well known for your reds, I have to say. We talked about Tomahawk before, and of course you're here in Stag's Leap. Not a bad zip code to be in. Is there anything new that you're doing out there?
You know, I think over the course of the years, as we've gotten to know these vineyards, and the vineyards here at Chimney Rock, we've got about 104 acres. It's been sort of a discovery for me over time what each corner of the property can produce in terms of cab. And there's some microclimates within the estate. So what we've done a little bit more of are more single vineyard cabs. And it's really been the vineyard telling us where to go more than us saying, oh, we want to do single vineyard cabs. We just noticed there were these beautiful differences between the north end and the south end of the estate, hillside. And so we've got a few single vineyards that you should try if you haven't tried Ganymede Vineyard. We do Clone 7, Clone 4. Alpine is one of our hillsides. Let's see. And Tomahawk, of course, which you mentioned.
Yes, which so, I've had many times.
I sort of see us as specialists of Stag's Leap District Reds because that's all we do. We're not working with Oakville or Rutherford. That's really our focus. So it's sort of fun to have that, you know, that ability to focus on cab.
Yeah, that's nice. Well, considering the amount of time you've been in the business, and this could go either positive or negative, what makes you crazy about the wine business?
Well, you know, like art and fashion, there's room to bullshit about wine. So I like calling a spade.
Good for you.
You know.
Does it make you kind of nutty when you get into people with
extreme? I don't like pretension.
Yeah.
And I'm all about making wine accessible and for people to love it for this, you know, magical product that it is and not allowing it to be intimidating. So I think the association of pretension sometimes with the wine business, and particularly Napa, occasionally you'll hear sort of dismissive. And you know, a lot of production people, we're not that way.
Right. You're not anything but
winemakers are down to earth, and we love what we do. We support each other. So pretension drives me crazy.
Good for you, as it should be. I find myself talking to people about wine, and they'll say, well, Napa wine, it's so expensive. I can't afford it. It's like, well, understanding what goes into it, and you're the first-hand person who knows the work and the purple hands and the long nights, especially during harvest. And that must put you in a little bit of a defensive position when you don't want to be, when somebody complains about the price.
Yeah, I mean, I don't feel like we need to be defensive. You know, we're still a lot more affordable than a lot of first growths out there.
No comparison there.
The cost of land and, you know, also the model of the estate-grown winery. There's a lot of ways of making wine, right? We're growing grape to bottle. It's not inexpensive and, you know, we're a business, so. And it is one of the greatest wine regions of the world, right? So it is what it is.
Believe me, I pinch myself from time to time. I'm sure you do too. I was thinking the other day, something that's always been fascinating to me is when I drive down the valley and I see new plantings, because I always think of cost. Wow. And then, of course, I've always said the wine plan not being a great plan. So the point I'm getting at, have you ever had a situation where you did a new planting and it wasn't what you wanted or wasn't what you were hoping for?
You know, we've been pretty good, I think, in planning our vineyards. You dig your soil pits, you make sure you know your soil composition and what should go there. But not every vineyard performs the same right away. And, you know, the Terlatos developed the second part of this property when they bought Chimney Rock. And Tomahawk, for example, produced amazing fruit right away. And so somehow we got the magical combination of soil, rootstock, clone, spacing, and it just worked. And then there were a couple of other books that we had to work a little harder, but it's not anything that you can't evolve past, right? You may have to work at the vineyard a little bit and fine-tune, maybe do a little bit more canopy management to get the vines in balance, but over time, usually you get there, unless you really did bad planning.
Yeah, well, I don't imagine there's too much bad planning because that
no
cost
bad
of
planning
that.
Here.
Yeah, yeah. But you're still surprised from time to time, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Tomahawk was a big surprise for me because that's a vineyard that literally the first year that we got fruit, which was 3 years in, those were young vines. And I remember looking at Doug Fletcher at the time and saying, is this possible? Is this really that good?
Yeah.
You know, but it just did. So you just never know. It's really hard to predict these things.
Yeah, there's no crystal ball.
That's right.
Yeah. And I should mention Doug Fletcher, who's a tremendous guy, a person I think who's just genuinely genuine. In this.
Yes.
Doug is the director of winemaking for Trilotto.
He runs vineyards. That's right. He runs the vineyards for all of the Trilotto properties. So.
And he works out of Rutherford Hill, right?
He offices down in Napa, actually.
He offices out of Napa, doesn't he? Yes. I'll let that question go by.
Yeah.
You know, for the long period of time you've been here, things have changed here in Napa, and things are constantly changing. It's just the way it's been since wine has become a bigger thing, even going back to the 60s. What are your concerns for the future? You know, there's a lot of new wineries that pop up, and there's so much regulation to try and build a new winery, but there has been quite a lot in the last few years. How do you see things in that regard?
Listen, I think there will always be wine lovers and a market for wine. I think, if anything, Americans have embraced wine more. We've become more of a wine culture, and so I think that's actually a positive. Some of the, I think, challenges are some regions that can produce wine at lower prices because of cost of labor, land, etc. So, but I think there are different stratas for the wine business, and you know, Napa Valley will always have its place at the table. So I don't really worry. I don't lose sleep about the future of Napa. Certainly everybody's talking about, you know, the competition of cannabis and what, you know, a lot of labor going into that industry.
Sure.
As well. And we'll be watching, but not really worried.
Yeah, I would think from a imbibement point of view, it's a very different concept. To me, wine is perpetually social.
Yeah, yeah.
It opens up conversation.
And part of the table.
Right.
Right? Fine food, yeah. Fine dining will always be a part of our culture. So there will always be a place for great wine.
Yeah, yeah. Do you ever see yourself getting into sparkling anywhere along the way?
You know, I love sparkling. God, I drink a lot of sparkling. Champagne is one of my favorite wine regions. You know, I think I'll always be a cab girl, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like that was my great love from the beginning, my grape love from the beginning. And it's my grape. But I will drink a lot of champagne, and I love celebrating with it.
It's also a great palate cleanser.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Yeah, that's the fun part. Is there anything you can think of you'd like me to ask?
No, it's just great to see you.
It's always great to see you.
Really excited about Premier Napa Valley. Always such a great event, and I'm looking forward to. It's kind of funny. We've all kind of been hiding in our cellars after harvest, and we get to catch up with friends and, you know, guests from out of town. So excited for the long weekend ahead.
Yeah, that's the thing about Premier. So many people think you guys hang out and, you know, drink wine all the time together. And you're right. You are hiding in the cellar. You got work to do.
Yeah, exactly.
And this is for me, we get to catch up with old friends like
it's
you.
It's as much of a social event for
it really
us.
Is. Yeah. That's the funny thing, because I see winemakers sneaking over to other barrels.
Yep. We go taste each other's stuff.
Yeah. It's a very sweet event.
Yeah.
Well, for the winery itself here, for people to come visit, I don't believe they could just come up. They have to have an appointment, or can they?
No, you can. We are open 10 to 5. We encourage appointments, particularly on weekends, because it gets a little bit busy. And we have a website, chimneyrock.com. So you can look up our different tastings, etc. Come visit.
Yeah, and you're right here in Stag's Leap, and what a completely different building than anything around here that very much had South African design.
That's right. You
can't miss
the
it.
Cave Dutch.
Yeah,
that's right.
Exactly. Awfully good seeing you.
Great to see you. Thank you, Ray.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Aww.
Learn more by visiting chimneyrock.com.
Thanks for listening, and remember to like us on Facebook. Also, check out our YouTube channel.
Life Between the Vines is produced at Fifth Floor Recording Company in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Produced and edited by Ray Pfister. Theme song and original music written and recorded by Tim Dondarevo. Additional original music by Ray Pfister. Our host is Kay Paskoff. Our graphics and website specialist is Lawton Hall. Our web geek is Dan Gieschen. Photos by Jeanette Herniak and Catherine Shear. Copyright 2019.